In this episode, discover how long a video should be.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
What is up? What is up? Hey, we had our first video shoot since the beginning of COVID over the weekend. We filmed at a client's office. You know, we're in Scottsdale, Arizona, and life went back to the new normal, or somewhat normal, or whatever the hell you want to call it, about 3-4 weeks ago. And we had our first shoot at a client's office. We all socially distanced. We had so much fun. It was like super rewarding to get back in. I love being on set, and with a lot of our clients being out of state, I don't get on set as often. In fact, I'll tell you the last time I was on set without me being the person on camera was right around Super Bowl. So right before, like the Friday before Super Bowl, we did a video shoot and I was there, and that was a lot of fun. But it's so cool to watch the team work, see how they help lift up the client, go through the scripts, make sure the client is prepared to shine, and the amount of attention that's put into optimizing the shoot, the perfect lighting, the perfect sound, the right mic placement, the background details, what the client's going to wear, how we're organizing the script, like all of those things I absolutely love. Absolutely love. Listen, I want to provide an enormous amount of value. And so this episode, I want to talk about how long a video should be. But first, I want to talk to you about my election year challenge. You know, this is an election year, and probably unlike any election we've ever had. If you've already made up your mind into who you're voting for, which I don't know, I mean, I'm sure you probably have, like who hasn't? If you've already made up your mind, your end of your business results are going to be determined by consistent, high quality learning and your ability to serve others with that knowledge. Now, quickly, what you learn and use to help others will have a longer effect on anything else you do this year. And I know this is true. My career literally took off the moment I started reading about my industry each and every day, and it has helped me distance myself, stay ahead of the curve, and recognize entrepreneurial opportunities before others. And every 4 years, I reignite my career by committing myself to this one personal challenge. If I already know who I'm voting for, wouldn't I be better off in 6 years or in 6 months from right now if I drastically decreased my election year news consumption, removed myself from the DC drama, and reinvested that time into learning more about my industry? What I learn now can help me better serve others, and it can also do the same magical thing for you. Imagine where your career will be on election day if you decide right now to reignite yourself, to recommit yourself. And if you want to make truly amazing things happen, start right now. Learn everything you can about your industry. And I, first and foremost, want to congratulate you for doing that by committing to this podcast. And if you're a listener to the podcast, come join me on LinkedIn. It's going down for reals on LinkedIn. Drop me a little note. Let me know that when you connect up with me that we're podcast friends. I'd love that. That would totally make my day. And thank you for those that have taken me up on that in the past. It's been fun to start a conversation and, of course, a relationship with you. And that's part of the joy for me of doing this. Life gets better every time you double down on your primary commitments. I know this. It's happened to me every time. What are my primary commitments? To my family, to my spouse, to my company, to my clients, to my health. Every time I double down in those areas, I take major step forward each and every time. Which part of you is going to win 2020? You know, which part of you already won the quarantine? Let's do a quick check-in. If you put on those COVID-19 pounds and you packed on the weight because you got lethargic, congratulations. That's the part of you that already won the quarantine. If you did what I did and you recommitted to your primary commitments, you doubled down on that, you've already seen a remarkable change in your life, it took me the quarantine from where I was in my career to being somebody who's regularly now contributing for Tony Robbins, because I was 100% committed to winning the quarantine. Half the year already got derailed. Which part of you is going to prevail? There's still 6 months left. You can pull this thing out. In 2019, Wirebuzz had a very slow start to the year. We were pitching proposals. Everybody was interested. Our meetings got larger and larger with more people on the line, but people weren't buying in the first half. But in the second half, we did so much revenue. We did 76% more revenue than the rest of the year. Now think about this for a moment. The change that can happen in your career or in your life happens so fast, like this, in an instant. Which part of you is going to win the rest of this year? What story are you going to tell for the rest of your life? And if you're trying to get your year back on track, conversation starters are the ones that attract new opportunities. Think about this. Even when you were single, dude, and you like went out with your friend, the conversation starter met girls. The one who played fly on the wall looked cool, but that was about it. So if you could start being a conversation starter or recommit yourself to being a conversation starter, you're going to attract more opportunities by the end of the year than any other people that are just doing what they normally do. And if you're struggling with this year, if you're struggling to pay your bills, I've gone through this many times in my life. The best advice came from my grandfather when I was living in Los Angeles. I was working at the Premier Radio Network. I was running digital for 7 of the largest nationally syndicated talk shows, but I negotiated myself poorly into that job. So poorly that I negotiated based on Scottsdale, Arizona financial terms, like what is rent? What is food? What is, electricity? All these things. What's my gas bill for driving my car? Then I got out to California and in the greater Los Angeles area, and I spent 3 hours a day on traffic going to a job that I could barely afford to live on. So I had to wait tables at night. And I remember calling my grandfather complaining that I had this really great job. It was cushy. It was a great job. It had all the benefits. It was my dream job, but I wasn't getting paid. And I was complaining that I had to go from this great job to wait tables at night. My grandfather said to me, "Don't be too proud to pay your bills. Whatever you do, however far along you get in your life, don't be too proud, Todd, to pay your bills." And that just stuck with me forever, because I need to be somebody who takes care of my primary commitments. And every time I double down on those primary commitments, my life gets better. But if you've already given up on yourself, and you know if you put on 20 pounds, you know if you got lethargic and you watched every episode of every new show on Netflix, you know if your house went to shambles and you didn't clean it or do laundry for the first several weeks, if you already gave up on yourself, you gave up on the only person that can pull you out of it. If you're starting to hear defeat in your head, if you're already contemplating surrender, you have to resist that. There are far too many people relying on you, your results, and your leadership for you to give up on yourself. Every single time I make micro optimizations in my life, I leap several steps forward. A micro optimization in my life is like improving my diet, removing sugar, eating only things that if it has a mother or comes from the earth, I'll eat it. Exercising, increasing my exercise, getting better sleep, focusing on gratitude, like all of those micro optimization moments in my life take me several steps forward. They also increase my confidence, which means when I show up and I'm meeting with clients, I'm that much more on fire, and they will recognize when I am in fuego because it's legit. Don't give up on yourself. Double down. Recommit. Amazing things will happen. And in a moment, I'm going to tell you about how I learned everything I needed to know about sex. Yes, it's coming up in a moment. Now, the question that I get asked all the time, probably 6-7 times a day, is how long should a video be? And I hear the conflict that goes on in people's minds, because when people ask me, they like lean in, like, I'm going to reveal a secret magic number. Like, come on, dude, just tell me the number. Is it like 87 seconds? Tell me what it is. Or is it 110 seconds, or is that too long? And most video companies, video marketers, most marketers, most video production companies, most salespeople, every time I hear people talk about how long a video should be, I hear them do a horrible job answering the question. The truth is, it depends. I know that doesn't sound like a great answer, right? But the real answer is the one you want. You don't want a number. You don't want, like, dude, just tell me what the number is. You want something that's more thought out than that, more deliberate. It depends. The truth is that you first have to figure out what your goal is. Because when somebody asks how long a video should be, what they're really asking for you is to average, you know, to rattle off a few. There are like 15 different types of videos. And videos are just like tools in your toolbox at home. You got to know which tool to grab at which time in order to create the result that you want. Different tools for different goals. So to rattle off a different types of videos, there are like 15 different types of videos. Do you want me to average those? Is that what you want when you ask for like how long should a video be? Because there's like 6-second videos. There's like a 15-second pre-roll. There's company overviews. There's traditional commercials that are like 30 seconds or a minute. There's product demonstrations. There's testimonial stories. There are long webinars. There's Facebook Lives and LinkedIn Lives. And you know what? They all require a different amount of time. Something tells me you are not asking me to average. You don't want an average. You want me to average all the 15 different types of videos and spit out a magic number for you? That's not going to be helpful to anybody. First, decide what your goal is. Then select the type of video you should create. Really? I look at it like this. Let me break this down real quick for you. Here are the things you should keep in mind. What's the goal of the video? That's first. Who's the audience? What story do you need to tell? And once you know that, then you have your answer for how long a video should be. Long enough to achieve the goal, but short enough to keep them engaged. But it's a much more complex question than that. You see, when people ask the question, I think what they're doing is they're asking for simplicity, magic number they can carry around with them for the rest of their career, but that would only shoot them in the foot, because you got to develop the story. And once you know how long that story is going to take to move people, because what's the goal of the video? In most cases, the goal of the video is to move people from where they are now to the next step. That could be in multiple different places in your sales funnel. So an average is a foolish question to ask. And if you're saying to yourself, oh, but come on, Todd, can't you just give me your secret number? Because I know people have short attention spans. I know they do. So you don't want that video to be too long, right? They ask me that, like they know a little bit and enough to be angry, but not dangerous, or maybe dangerous to themselves. You see, the conventional wisdom around attention spans is also wrong. So the conventional wisdom around how long a video should be and people having short attention spans or attention disorders, they're both wrong. You know, I grew up struggling with attention disorders. I got an enormous amount of life-changing help from the Salt Center at the University of Arizona, which is the nation's leading academic support program for students with attention disorders. I know a few things about this topic. I'm actually on the alumni board of directors and on the business advisory board. And every semester I teach a weekend workshop for students. What kind of students? Students with attention disorders. And here's what I've discovered. I discovered that when I'm talking with students, they've been diagnosed by an expert, multiple experts with attention disorders, just like I have. What I've discovered is if I talk to them first about their passion, hey, what are you passionate about? And you know, college students, they don't want to talk. So I'm like, hey, so what are you doing when you get out of here? Like, you're going to go home and crush Xbox, or you're going to play some kind of video games? What do? You make music? What do you do? Are you into Minecraft? Like, what is your jam? Once I figure out their jam, then I ask, and how long can you spend on that? Oh man, I could spend like, they say something like, I could spend like all day on it. Like, are you like me? Like, if I'm in my zone, that I could stay all day and I could barely remember to drink a sip of water, which I'm going to do right now. Are you like me where you can get lost? Just get so into your zone that you're loving it? Because what I've discovered is that each and every student that I talk with, it doesn't matter if it's fashion or it's entertainment or movies, doesn't matter what it is. Each and every one of them, they don't have an attention problem or a short attention span, and you are the same way. They have competing interests. They have an overabundance of attention options. I've discovered about working with people with attention disorders that attention is the strangest thing. Attention is selective. If you're interested, you pay attention. If you aren't, you'll tune out. People don't have short attention spans. They actually have an overabundance of options that are competing for their attention. And if you aren't interested, you'll move on to something that commands your attention. Now that is completely different. So when I start talking to people about how long a video should be, and I tell them what the real answer is, which I'm going to get to in a moment, which is deeper than it depends, they typically don't believe me. And then I give them the reason and they push back and say, yeah, dude, but people have short attention spans. This isn't true. And all the proof you need is all around you. 158 million Americans use Netflix. 158 million Americans use Netflix. How can people with attention disorders sit in front of Netflix for 6 hours crushing Tiger King? Riddle me that. You see, the truth is, it's about interest and it being relevant to your interests and you prioritizing things that are relevant for you. And there's a reason you sit on your couch for 6 hours. Your options are personalized to your interest. The content is on demand and it is friggin' binge-worthy. Now, let's just pump the brakes right there. What about your business? What about your business videos? Why aren't you making your business videos personalized and relevant to your audience? Why aren't you making it so damn interesting that they to them and their needs? And why aren't you making the content on demand so it's frigging binge-worthy? The more you make your videos relevant to your prospects' needs, the higher their attention span is going to be, the longer the video can be, the more knowledge you can transfer, and the more you're going to be able to sell. Because people are more likely to buy from long form than short form. But we have a historical bias to think that television, these 30-second commercials, which were all designed for inventory and designed for a television show clock and a network clock, is still the right way to do it. Divorce yourself from the trappings of the old world of television when you're thinking about how long a video should be. Because buyers watch towards the end. Those are buyers. Now, Facebook, well, dude, what does Facebook say, Todd, about video length? Facebook says, make longer videos, this is a quote, that engage people and inspire them to watch to the end. It goes on to say, we prioritize longer videos, 3 minutes or more, that inspire people to continue watching to the end. Now, if you just said to yourself, okay, the magic number's 3 minutes. Todd just said 3 minutes. Dude, you're missing the whole point. It's not about a predestined amount of time. What is it about? Well, there's a lot of things to keep in mind. What is the goal of your video? What do you need to do with this video? Who's the audience? Because it's got to be personalized and relevant. What story do you need to tell? Because you got to wrap it into a story, which is going to hold people's attention. Remember, stories are the glue that binds your prospect's attention into your solution. And then and only then can you answer the question of how long a video should be. And the answer is long enough to achieve your goal, to tell your story, and short enough to keep them engaged. but I don't get worried. I don't get worried about making my videos short. So Todd, what is Facebook? We know what Facebook says. What about YouTube? Like, they got to say something about videos and keeping them short, right? Quote from YouTube, "We focus on those videos that increase the amount of time that the viewer is going to spend watching videos on YouTube." Dun, dun, dun. In fact, what would you guess is the average length of a video ranking on the first page of YouTube? What do you think that is? Think about that. I'll come back to that in a moment. I'm going to come back to the question. What would you guess the average length of a video ranking on the first page of YouTube is? We'll come back to that in a moment. And I teased you about sex. Yes, I did. I told you that I was going to tell you how I learned everything I needed to learn about sex. You know, I was at my grandparents' house. I was partially raised by them. And, you know, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, right around the time where the channel changer was just coming in. But before the channel changer, we had a box. And in that box, it had buttons. And it had a button for every channel. And when the channels went from like 7 channels to 13 channels to 40 channels when cable came, you had to go up to the TV and push the button on the box, which meant you often played, somebody got up and played the role of the modern role of the channel changer. And I was at my grandparents' house. I had to be about 5 or 6 years old. I learned everything I needed to know about sex. Because as my grandfather went through the channel, standing at the TV, looking at my grandmother sitting on the couch next to me, he'd push the button down. My grandmother would shake her head no. My grandfather would go to the next channel. This is old school, yo. And then he'd go to the next channel. She'd shake her head no, go to the next channel, boom. And eventually one of those channels is like a dirty channel. And it was going down for real. And in 4 seconds, when my grandmother figured it out, what it was, and that it wasn't age appropriate, in that 4 seconds of seeing an adult movie, I learned everything I need to learn about how it's done. Now, if you would have given me text and asked me to read about it, definitely wouldn't have been as interesting. And in 4 seconds, I wouldn't have learned everything I need to know. Because in that 4 seconds, I got visuals, I understood what was going on, and everything came together in 4 seconds. But if you gave me 4 seconds of reading, I would probably read a sentence and I wouldn't have figured out what was going down for reals. So please make sure you can transfer more knowledge. The big lesson is not so much about my grandparents' TV choices, or wondering why my grandparents had that type of programming on their cable box. The real question is, can't we teach people faster using video than every other form of medium? Can't we give them the most important details, not all the details, but enough to get the message across? And can't we use that as an opportunity in this world where salespeople are needed after somebody understands about a product or service's benefits? Can't we use the power of video to teach our prospects más rápido, move them through a knowledge transfer, and get them to be raving fans? And if you think you can do that in one video, good luck. That's mostly for B2C. Like if you got a consumer product, that's like my Apple EarPod Pros with noise reduction. You can learn that in a 30-second video. But if you've got a product or service that takes a more deliberate purchase path, you're going to need multiple videos or longer videos, and it's better you understand the power of longer videos and what your goal is than understanding a magic number. Let's now fast forward back to YouTube. Here we go. What is the average length of a video ranking on the first page of YouTube? Videos on the first page of YouTube, did you lock in your number? All right, here we go. Here it is. The average video that's ranking on the first page of YouTube is 14 minutes and 50 seconds. Dun, dun, dun. Longer videos might be better. Don't be afraid. Let me tell you about the stats. Wistia put out this stat about the average engagement versus video length. An engagement, reading from their stat, the engagement decay really starts to level off around the 6 minute mark. Because you could start off at the beginning in the first minute or two, you'd start to drop down past 70%, 60%. But then right when you get to about the 6 minute mark, something amazing happens. 50% of the people are retained to almost the 17 minute mark, which means that every second counts, of course, between 2 minutes and 6 minutes, but there's hardly any drop off between 6 minutes and 17 minutes. And if your video ends later on, you've had a better, easier time doing a knowledge transfer. And the whole goal is transferring knowledge into your prospect's head that makes buying from you a no-brainer. That's the goal. Think about this for a moment. Would you think 4 minutes is too long of a video? Like most people would. Like when we're talking to people, I'm like, well, man, maybe that video should just be like 2 minutes. And we go, well, we've got your script here, and at 150 words per minute, that's the Wirebuzz number. When we're writing scripts, we're like 150 words a minute, about the right amount for a professional voiceover to read it into a video. So when we read the script, we're like, oh, that's like 4 minutes. Do you want us to remove some of that? And we get back into the conversation. Well, I mean, like, how long should the video be? And the video should be as long as you need to be to transfer the information that makes somebody want to buy or go to the next stage, right? Let's talk about Marketo. Marketo is a marketing automation platform. They're a billion-dollar company. But if you remember in a past episode, I interviewed Paolo Martins, who's the global head of marketing for Marketo, and he said Marketo's 4 minute product video increased their conversion rate 1,100% and increased the speed at which new leads became marketing qualified leads 6 times. That's a 4 minute video. Does that mean you should create a 4 minute video? It depends. If you're Marketo, great. But every business, every product, every service is different. Facebook and YouTube, they prefer longer videos for the same reason savvy businesses do. The longer people stay on Facebook or YouTube, the more ad dollars that they're going to make. And the same thing happens when you add video on your website. Sure, you're not selling ads. You're not getting ad dollars because people are staying on your website longer. But your website visitors who hang out there longer learn the most about your product and service. That extra knowledge transfers into time and investment and creates a higher sales rate. Think about that long video stat that I was showing you about Wistia, which I'll make sure is on the show notes page for this episode. But if you're keeping people, 50% of your audience for almost 17 minutes, and by the 20-minute mark, you got like 48 or 47% of your audience. That's friggin' gold, right? That's panning for gold. The people that are still in your pan are buyers. Those are golden prospects that are in that pan. But that doesn't mean you should only make longer videos. So instead of expecting a secret amount of time, like 87 seconds, a more results-focused approach is to start by asking, how long should, instead of like starting by saying, how long should a video be? What about, what's the goal of my video? What story do I need to tell in order to transfer that information? And what type of video should I create? And then and only then will you know how long that video should be. Quickly, when I think of this, when somebody asks me, I'm like, how long, dude, should that video be? In my head, there's a lot to keep in mind. What's the goal of the video? Who's the audience? What story do I need to tell? And then and only then can I tell you how long that video should be. If you want to learn more in this new world about selling remotely, which is really where this whole ball game is going, if you can sell remotely, you can either make your sales team more successful or you can decrease your sales force. In our company, we noticed that when we started educating our prospects with video, we started seeing something remarkable happen. We started seeing people go from a 9-week sales cycle, which is where we got started as a company. 9 weeks it took. And in 9 weeks, we had 6 meetings and 1,100 emails back and forth. Enormous waste of time. But once we started educating our prospects with video, the knowledge transfer, just like the time I learned about sex, bow, bow, chicka, bow, wow, the knowledge transfer happens in your prospect's head. They start to understand the unique value that you provide. And before you know it, you've gotten them to the point where they're saying yes, and they want to buy from you more often. If you want to learn how to sell remotely in this new world where access to your prospects is limited, and you got to transfer the knowledge to them in an effortless, binge-worthy, and on-demand way, well, I created 20 minutes of free learning for you. And as a listener to this podcast, you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/remote-sales. I'll do that again because it's radio. Yeah, former radio guy. Falling back into my old trend. This ain't radio, dude. This is a podcast. Get it right. If you want to get access to that, just go to wirebuzz.com/remote-sales, and you will start on the journey of learning my tactics and a couple of my best techniques to convincing and converting más rápido in this new world. And I will continue to do my job, challenge conventional wisdom in the way businesses convince and convert, show you how to micro-optimize your business using the power of video so you can start moving people through your sales cycle like they're on a slip and slide. And before you know it, you've done the most important thing. You've micro-optimized your business, but don't forget to take those same micro-optimizations for your own life. Health and diet, exercise, sleep, focus on gratitude. Start getting yourself in position to winning the rest of the year because change happens like that. And if you can get yourself in position to be your best, healthiest version of yourself and get your mind in fuego, when you get in front of prospects, when you meet with them remotely, when you sell to them using video, they will recognize your passion and the unique qualities that makes buying from you an irresistible, pressing priority. Hey, to get access to the show notes for this episode, just go to wirebuzz.com/238. You know, this is episode 238. That's how we do it. Wirebuzz.com/238. On behalf of my homies here at Wirebuzz, who today, I told you we did a video shoot over the weekend, but today they're at that same location filming B-roll to make those videos we filmed over the weekend amazing. On behalf of my homies that are doing a shoot right now and the team that's here at the office and those other people that are working from home, we wish you all continued prosperity on your path to remote selling. Wirebuzz.com/remote-sales. And I will continue to do my part preparing you so you can be a video marketing master. Peace.